Hi, everybody. This is Pat O'Brien. Either your grandfather, your father, or you grew up with me doing sports for the last 30 years, plus all the entertainment and pop culture things that I did, all those red carpets for you out there. Now, we're putting all that in a podcast, The Pat O'Brien Show. Go to iTunes and find it. Go to thepatobrienshow.com. We're here. We work for you on The Pat O'Brien Show. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you for joining the program.
Whenever you say that, I always hear Kaylee Bernard now in her stupor after her wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
Get it on.
Yeah.
No choice but to get it on.
And
love her.
Thank you so much for subscribing to the show via the PayPal button. We love you. We appreciate it. It helps. Well, right now, even though it's cool outside, Dr. Drew's got to blow my very expensive air into the studio. And thus, it costs a couple shekels to keep this pirate ship
I
running.
Did not set the temperature as low as I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
As in deference to this, because
I have
to continue to pander to my audience at the drdrew.com site and podcast.
And as we begin, as tradition would have it, as we begin every Adam Kroll and Dr. Drew podcast, Kathy Lee Gifford
is
with us. Kathy Lee?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm always honest. I'll tell you, I've got my foot up in the air.
Uh-oh.
I've got an ice pack on it. I am under the medication, Dr. Drew, I hope you don't mind, but of major amounts of Benadryl. A nasty little yellow jacket got me a couple of days ago, and it makes me crazy that something so small can have such impact on your life.
Hey, let me give you a little bit of advice. Sometimes, I don't want to second guess what your doctor is doing, but sometimes you get a certain amount of tissue breakdown from those, and they get infected, and some antibiotics, like a first-generation cephalosporin, goes a long way in helping these things get better fast.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because guess what? I had a shot of that in my butt today.
Good.
And a shot of Benadryl in the other one. And so I basically, that's a disclaimer that going forward, I am not responsible for anything that I say or do.
Good. This should be fun.
Good. I feel the same way. For everything, all the time, including family and intimate matters as well.
There you go.
So
I wasn't there. I didn't do it.
I was there. I don't remember doing it is more the answer. And the thing I say most often, that doesn't sound like me. That doesn't sound like something I would say. Well, you said
all good, all good stuff.
Kathy Lee and Company, by the way, name of the new podcast. Regis Philbin is the guest on her first episode, and it's available October 23rd at podcastone.com.
Good company I'm in, huh?
Yes, I have one called All About Women on Podcast One, and both you and Hoda are invited any time.
We are here at your discretionary. Or is that a financial
that's a
term?
Disposal word.
That's a Benadryl filled term.
These days I get them all confused.
Did you interview Regis yet? Have you done the podcast?
No, we're going to do it this week.
You will find podcasting a very different experience than just about anything else in media. It's really interesting how different it is.
Well, for me it's different because it means no hair, no makeup, and no Spanx.
It also means no bridle. You're free to do whatever.
I don't know why you can't masturbate when you're
Adam.
What?
Kind of frightening.
Oh yeah, I understand the hair and the makeup part, but I still feel like I need to masturbate. Anyway,
I'm gonna resist the urge personally.
for a lady, that is a big deal. That hair and that makeup.
Oh yeah.
For the fellas, you know, when I did Celebrity Apprentice, they'd ship us out of that hotel at 6 a.m. Hair and makeup for the ladies, 4:30.
Oh,
you know, and a lot of them would get down there at 4:30. And you, because the camera's up your ass
the
entire time.
The more secure you are, the earlier you arrive.
Right. Now,
it's
for the
incentive.
For the fellas, a little powder and a little dippity-doo, and 10 minutes later, you're out the door.
Nothing's fair. You know what? I think I blame it all on Eve anyway. And it's only fair. We should pay more.
Right.
She's the one that said, you know, eat the damn apple.
So
but no, I Hoda and I, years ago, like 3.5 or so years ago, went makeup free on our air.
Oh, I remember that. And, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, it's liberating.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for the podcasting.
Drew called it courageous at the time.
Yeah, stupid is another word. But I think people kind of respect it when you get rid of the charade, and say, look, listen, this is what I really look like, people. You know, this is after my glam team, you know.
Let me suggest this, Kathy.
Okay.
If people, it's right up there with getting your teeth whitened.
Right.
I realized that I had to have my teeth whitened because I was sitting in between a host and a guest on a sofa, maybe even Jimmy Kimmel's show or Leno's show or somebody's show, mm-hmm. and somebody said to me, you have to get your teeth whitened. Well, I didn't have to get my teeth whitened. Those other guys needed to leave their teeth alone, and then you would have seen one long bar of yellow.
Association.
Well, think about it. If everybody gets a tit job, then you got to get a tit job. If everyone gets their teeth whitened, then your teeth seem gray compared to everyone you're
That's
in the picture
true.
With.
You can never, ever, ever visit England again.
I was thinking about this the other day. I've said it once. I'll say it again. I think all women ought to let their hair go. Let it go. Stop with the ironing. Stop with the blow drying. The millions of kilowatts that would be saved. The millions of hours saved. The millions of products saved. Spent on their hair.
Just everyone just wears it in a bun.
Well, Drew, what
would be like 19th century again?
No, you want
that's what they did.
We all go Amish.
Yeah, I was going to say it used to be the way. You just tied it up and put a bonnet on it.
Can I say this? Can I suggest this? The 70 cents to the dollar, which is sort of a myth, but the glass ceiling may exist. Whatever. What if you had to spend an hour a day blowing hot air onto your head? I mean, that would set you back in almost every realm, every facet. If you had to spend thousands of hours of your life working an iron through your hair, just working on your hair, how far back would you be in your career and whatever other endeavors?
Well, I would have had a different career, all that hot air blowing. I would have gone into politics.
I love that sense of humor, baby. So
that's just truth.
What are you planning on? I want to know the story, Kathy. I want to know how it all began. Where you come from? Where,
my father had sex with my mother.
Yeah. No, further back.
Oh, God, as it says in the Psalms, saw me before. That wasn't before. No, that's pretty much how I came to be.
So Daddy forgot to pull out, and then what?
And gratefully so. I ended up with the greatest family since the Cleavers ever happened. So
be careful, Kathleen. People say that to me, I'm always suspect. Immediately.
No, here's the deal. My daddy died 12 years ago now, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for him in my life, and this is no joke. I mean, every great lesson in life I ever learned, I learned from my dad before he passed away. And in his most critical days and months before he did pass, I learned everything about how to end your life with grace and dignity and courage.
That's important.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I am one of those people that doesn't have a leg to stand on. When you start blaming the victimization thing about where you came from, we had nothing financially, but we had everything that matters in life. Because I had a mom and a dad who just got it. They understood. They didn't have children they couldn't afford. They had children that they wanted. They blessed the children that they had, and they spent the rest of their lives teaching us that we're not here to be entitled. We are to whom much is given, much is required. And there's not a day, literally, that goes by that I don't hear my daddy's voice saying things like, I love you too much to deny you the privilege of making mistakes.
Did they stay together?
Pardon?
Did they stay together?
Oh, yeah. They would have celebrated, basically, with their 60th wedding anniversary, or maybe even more.
Wow.
My daddy died in 2002, November, so we're coming up on the 12th anniversary. No, 20, what is that? the 13th.
What yeah, 11th.
My parents' 50th is coming up.
Yeah.
Except for they got divorced somewhere around the 7th.
Yeah,
but technically,
Adam,
it's still coming.
Even qualify. I mean, it's out there. Yeah, the impact of that.
So, Kathy, can I say pay you this compliment, but ask you how you get this, which is I've been kind of thinking a lot about this in life, and all the people. One of my favorite thinkers is a man by the name of Dennis Prager, who I enjoy very much. He does radio out here.
Wait a minute, the pastor from Chicago?
No,
no, this is a large Jewish man who's just has a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
And
good.
He says almost every time there's one of these mass shootings and somebody goes on a rampage, that person looks at themselves as a victim. That person looks at themselves
right.
as being either bullied or discriminated.
Yeah,
I mean, they have mental
he's
issues.
He's wrong. He's disconnected from reality and believes that God is or devil's telling them or whatever.
No.
They're the Joker, Batman's
kind
of, come on now.
Quite true. No, quiet. They're also not necessarily victims, but they have been done wrong by women, by classmates, by
there is
coworkers.
There's a lot of thinking in the world.
Well, they're emotionally a mess. I'm sorry. They have mental issues,
yeah.
And part of the mental issue is everybody at the workplace has victimized me or hates me or is making my. They're going in there to kill people for a reason. Oftentimes, but they've not been done right.
Yeah.
And Kathy, there's a lot of people who grow up in pretty good circumstances and still have pretty big beefs. For instance, you were, let's say, poor. You could focus on that aspect of your childhood.
The way Adam does.
The way I do. Only about your childhood. But the people that have gratitude. The people, I always say, you know, I don't personally do it. I can't do it. But wake up in the morning and go, wow, look at me. I have my health.
Yes.
I have my family. The sun is shining.
Yes.
What a great day.
Gratitude is an extremely important thing that people.
It's the most important thing.
Of being happy.
Your whole attitude towards the rest of your life.
But people left that behind, though. You're right. Gratitude is not a commonly. Look at you think our leaders inculcate gratitude these days? I mean,
no.
Think about that.
No. They want everyone to be upset and angry and agitated. And
want more, get more, give more,
and
whatever.
Going
pay
up
more.
At the voting polls.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, no. All they do is get up on the pulpit and talk about why you're being held down, why the playing field's not even, why they try to engender this dissatisfaction.
The injustice of it all.
So how do you get that gratitude? You had a family, you said they didn't have much money, but you didn't care. How do you stay on the positive side of these memories?
Well, my dad was a Russian Jewish. His father was a Russian immigrant. He was a Russian Jew. First generation, his mother was almost all American Indian, so we used to call my daddy Sitting Shiva. I think it's a choice. Your attitude is a choice you make. My father's father left him when he was a child, and he ended up being the youngest in his family, but took care of the whole family. He never saw himself as a victim. He said, "This is a great country. I am blessed to be here." He had three jobs for as long as I can remember. My mom sold eggs door to door. But as a result, we saw it as, well, my daddy was a jazz saxophonist, so we had music in the family. And my mom sold eggs door to door, so we never went hungry. You know, and it's a choice you make. Am I going to be better or bitter?
Right.
And I'm just so grateful that I chose the better path.
And how did you get from that sort of humble existence to college, to pageants, to all that stuff? How did you make that transition?
You know, it's funny, Franklin Graham was on my show today with Hoda on the Today Show, and he's the son of Billy Graham. I came home one day when I was about 12 and a half years old, to see my mother and my sister in front of a TV screen sobbing their eyes out. And I thought the president had died or something. And I said, "Mom, Mishy, what is it?" And they said, and they'd been watching a Billy Graham crusade. And they had both decided that they wanted to give their lives to the Lord that particular moment. And I didn't think it was weird. I thought it was quite sweet and touching, but it didn't have impact on my life until about 6 or 7 months later, and I went to a movie called The Restless Ones, which Billy Graham's organization had put out. it's funny. I was almost at the age of the leading lady in that movie, who was at a crossroads of her life. Am I going to go? And it was like, I didn't hear a voice. It wasn't something weird like that. But I felt that God was saying to my young heart, Kathy, I love you, and if you'll trust me, I want to make something beautiful out of your life. Choose me instead of the way of the world. Don't choose the way the world goes. Don't let the world define you. Let me define you, that you are precious and valuable and one of a kind and amazing and have a purpose in this life. And from that moment on, I made that decision, and it's the greatest decision I ever, ever made, because then you can handle anything. When you let God decide who you are and what you are, and you dismiss any human voice from that discussion, you're way ahead of the game. The battle's won. The war's won.
Can I ask you a question about that in your faith,
sure,
Kathy Lee? How much in the past, and you're being on TV for the last 25 years, I'm guessing. Drew, you got a little booger in your right nostril.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I do too. Thank you.
Okay. Ooh, you guys are booger buddies. Jinx, you own my booger. How much has that, what you just said, has that ever been discouraged from producers and Hollywood types? Have they ever said, you know, keep that one close to the vest, Kathy? People want to hear
sure.
the news.
Oh, sure. But you know what? I don't ever remember getting a job and then saying that I would give up all of my constitutional rights to have the job. Some people say, well, it's not quite wise to share that. You know, maybe you don't go there. And I say, if I don't go there, the stones will cry out, because that's how enriched my life has been because of my personal faith. So to deny that is to deny every truth.
It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds appealing.
It does. I'm going to go to a movie theater, and I need a dude to sit behind me.
Say that to you.
Well, don't say Kathy Lee.
Are you in the podcast together, like doing weird stuff?
Well, sexually, again, this is California and L.A., so we don't judge.
Because I judge not, lest I be judged.
So,
but, you know, I heard a NPR guy last night. It was a British guy. I forget his name. He has a school called School of Life in London. And he was talking about how we don't really have, because of everything so secular, we don't have things that catch us and tell us how to live.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's a good point. I kind of sign on to that. Religion always, through years of trying to figure that out, how should humans live? Humans are flawed, so how should they live?
Right.
And I thought, I certainly don't tell people how to live. I can tell them it's healthy if they want, but I wouldn't dare tell somebody how to live. But religion kind of do that. It's interesting.
Right.
No, I'm not a big fan of religion, guys. I look over at all the troubles in the world and all the evil and all the damage that has been done in the name of God.
That was his point, too. That was his point, too, yeah.
I just know that people who truly love God and seek his will in their lives never blow up people. It's funny. The people that truly have that relationship, one-on-one relationship with a living God, are the last people on earth who are comfortable doing damage to other human beings.
Kathy,
so it's something other than that.
Your son is how old now?
He's 24. He'll be 24 in March.
Through college, all done?
Yep, he got his degree in screenwriting from the USC Film School.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. And our daughter is studying. She's an actress.
Gary says he's got to take Sunday off for the graduation.
Oh, boy. Get there at 5 in the morning and get your seat.
They said we got to camp. Yeah, we camp it out, so it's not going to be good on Monday either. It's a running joke, Kathy.
Yeah, not one I got. Sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. Last
I'm
episode.
I'm sure it's hysterical to you guys.
It's a five. Kathy, when are you getting out to L.A. next?
I'm actually coming out in about 10 days because my daughter has her parents' weekend.
And she's at SC also?
Yeah, she is.
So because Frank was such an amazing standout athlete at USC, it's just sort of a – did you know
legacy.
That, by the way?
I did know that.
It's such – well, you went to – Drew went to USC as well.
Oh, that's right.
Is it kind of a foregone conclusion? I mean, did they have a choice in the matter? I know if you want to
–
if you're interested in screenwriting,
SC,
it's a good place to go.
I did, or they went to Oral Roberts. I mean, SC where Frank went, or Oral Roberts University where I went in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Neither of them were interested in that.
Yeah. And is there much, is there pressure by the university or discussion I mean, you know what I mean? Is it like doesn't come up, or does the university sort of reach out as a very famous alumni, Frank Gifford, and go?
No.
Hey.
They both had trouble. They had to wait to get in.
Yeah,
really did.
I'm sure of it.
They had their struggles.
Well, I don't listen. I'm sure everything's above the board and everything, but I'm still saying when there's a handful of guys.
Yeah.
Mike Garrett, Frank Gifford, a couple dudes like that. Ted McGinley.
Ted McGinley.
He's a good looking guy.
I love him.
Been on many sitcoms. When you know, these guys are you
important
know, their kids are legacies. Yes, you know what
course.
I mean? These are very important USC members. Hey, Kathy, maybe when you come in 10 days, you can swing by and say hi on my podcast. I don't know what your schedule's like.
I would like that. I'm going to be actually doing some of my own at that point, so I guess we're in the same studio together and all of that.
Well,
right?
We might be in the same neighborhood. We'll try to make it happen.
I would like that. I enjoy you so much when you're on with O'Reilly.
I enjoy me as well.
Give
my love to Hoda. And again, Kathy Lee and Company, Regis coming up. That's this Wednesday. And podcast1.com. Kathy Lee Gifford, thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much for having me on as a guest today. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. That's funny. I went on this sort of rant in my dressing room upstairs in Seattle because Luke Burbank, who's a local guy, was one of our guests. And he was explaining that he grew up on a sort of commune, a God-fearing commune.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a weird God-fearing commune where the guy wasn't trying to have sex with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a dude who had a bunch of real estate, and everyone lived there, and they just kind of worked together, and everyone was into God, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone kept jumping in, going, and then when did he make his move?
Right,
you know, when did the orgies begin?
Right.
And Luke was like, it was weird, but it was never that. It was just God and a commune. And I just said, look, I'm fine with all that. I wish, you know, we make fun of those people or we look at them as dangerous or whatever, irresponsible or whatever it is. That may be true, but I can give you some alternatives.
Yeah.
Like dad not being around.
Right.
Like a vacuum of faith, religion, whatever.
Right.
And kids running wild in the streets.
Well, here's the I've been thinking is that ultimately education could have a huge impact on all that nonsense, but it ain't going to happen.
No.
So, and people don't seem to up for the work.
Also,
so religion kind of fills in that space, right?
Well, what's going on is I've said it many times. Everybody has a slot in the vending machine of life.
Dig.
That's for faith and or religion or something like that. It's just sort of how we're wired, as animals.
Yes.
And when you remove all the Funyuns from that slot and you leave it open, it gets filled with other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets filled with your dog, which must go with you on every motherfucking flight and into every restaurant.
Yeah.
It becomes filled with the environment.
Yeah.
It becomes filled with, are those caught from an open river, or are those farm fed, farm raised?
Right.
And then a zealotry about it.
Of all kinds.
Which is, look, I'm sure eating the trout that was raised in the Babbling Brook is better than the trout that was raised in the farm. It's a matter of 3%. You've turned it into a huge issue. You've turned in the water being fluoridated into a huge issue. You've turned the ozone depletion into a huge... You've turned everything into a tent.
There's no faith that anything is going well or going to be
right.
Okay.
So you must then dump all that energy into this, and then all these stupid fucking social issues too. You know, voter asking or ID before you vote turns into voter suppression. You know, it's like everything's a hate crime. Everything's huge. I mean, it's all spearheaded by folk mainly on the left that have no spiritual, they have no religion. I understand where it's coming from. It's a group of people that don't see the group on the right is religious.
Right.
So they're not that interested in the trout being raised this way or that way, or the water being filtered this way or that way. They just want their trout and they want their water.
Right.
And then they go pray.
Right.
or they feel that God's going to work it out or whatever, but there's nothing to fill up.
Yeah.
You go hard left, there's no religion, there's a lot of voids, and then the environment becomes a religion, and then they proselytize. And sometimes they're right, oftentimes they're wrong. Doesn't matter. It's big.
Yeah.
It's bigger than all of us. And that's part of what's going on these days, which is bothering me, which is to say, I'm an atheist, but I don't need to fill it with bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't go, like, I'm an atheist, so,
And it's
I need to invent something called third-hand smoke.
The hard thing about the environment thing, it's a never-ending bottomless pit. Because I remember when I was in college, I was kind of involved with this stuff, and we were big on phosphates and what are we going to do with the pesticides. And if we could just organically engineer the plants to have this stuff be resistant, because we're biologists and that's how we're going to solve this problem. Now it's, biological engineer pants, they're going to kill you. I'm paranoid about the plants now.
Right.
And
well, also, it's also kind of it's a snobbery because you got rid of DDT and now we have 2 million Africans that are dead because of malaria. And you've gotten rid of this engineered rice and we have another 2 million that have starved to death because you who live in either Berkeley or Santa Monica have successfully gotten rid of this stuff. But there's people who have real problems who may not live in your neck of, West LA or Berkeley that could use some of this DDT and some of this genetically engineered rice so that they could see the following day. Okay. But I do see where, again, this is coming from an atheist, but when you remove religion, it gets filled with something.
It's an interesting
will fill
observation.
That space.
Interesting idea.
And, let's put it to you this way, Drew.
Yeah. Dig.
The lion's share of the people that are, let's just take the environment. The lion's share of the people that are incredibly in environmentally conscious, I don't know, not conscious, but really the tip of the spear in all these movements. What percentage of them are, Christians of deep faith?
Very small, I imagine.
Right. And meaning this is their religion.
I think the reality is we all kind of need to be in between.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of have a little bit of both. Because you're not saying environmentalists are unfounded or,
no,
or should
I'm
not
saying,
be paying attention.
I, no, I'm
you're saying,
saying
the religiousness of it all is
listen,
the problem.
Listen, I'm the guy who found the one incandescent light bulb in this entire fucking joint, unscrewed it, and got it out of the fixture it was in and put it somewhere else. And then later on found that it was replaced with another incandescent bulb and then threw both bulbs away and replaced it with an LED bulb.
You're an environmentalist. Ooh.
I'm a guy who pays the bills. And I like the environment. So it's what I call win-win. There's not that many win-wins in nature. This is one of them. Mm-hmm. So you should do it. On the other hand, let's not get fanatical about everything all the time, and let's really take a look at natural gas, fracking, and things like that. Not versus pixie dust. You're never going to beat pixie dust. Versus double-walled, double-hulled tankers coming in from the Straits of Hormuz. All right. Where were we?
Let's talk about some stamps.com first. Let's go to recommend to those of you that are one of those over 8 million small businesses out there. Do not waste time with the post office. You can have stamps.com bring the post office to you. Buy and print official U.S. postage from your own computer. They'll even send you a digital scale that will exactly calculate the postage for any letter, package, or class of mail. And we, of course, have our special offer, which is use the code ADS. It's a no-risk trial, $110 bonus offer, including the aforementioned digital scale and $55 of free postage. As I've said again and again, it's like that is printing money at your computer. $55 of federally endorsed. It's
should
it's
be illegal.
Specie, but you use it to mail postage. They do it. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right. I was listening, speaking of this, I was listening to a little KCRW over the weekend, and they interviewed one of the actors who's in that Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Johnson, whatever it is. Captain Morgan.
Phillips.
Phillips, yeah.
Phillips. Captain Phillips. And he's a Somali-born, whatever, you know, actor, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the conversation, she said, and this is what I love about KCRW, she said, do you ever think Hollywood will make a movie where they positively portray Somalians? I love it that they get to go out with that. Because so far, they're 0 for 2 with the piracy and then the Black Hawk Down.
What are you going to do?
But I imagine when there's a Somalian that, you know, invents a Hyperloop or something, or, you know, has to takes a rocket ship to a meteor that's heading toward our planet and blows it up with his own homemade nuclear device.
There you go.
Then they will.
Yeah.
All right. But I like the fact that she had to slide that one in at the end. Sweet. You're so much better than we are. There's so much for asking those questions. Never heading to Somalia to fix anything. Just wants to know.
Right.
Let it be on record that in 2013, I, the announcer on KCRW, said that somebody ought to make a positive Somalian pirate movie.
How about a Romeo and Juliet with all Somali cast?
That's right.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We will, when we take a little break, I'm going to take some phone calls. I don't need to...
Take some calls.
I don't... I can't see the calls because we've had a picture for a long period of time.
There we go. Need.
Thank you. You have someone... I'm just going down.
Five's been way, way... Five's been on hold forever.
James.
Hey.
Modesto, what's going on?
Hey, James.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to speak to both of you.
Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. It's pretty important. I can't afford to go see a doctor, and I think this might actually transition to one of your world-famous rants. I'm a veteran. I served in Iraq. I joined the Army when I was 19. I'm close to 30 now. And while I was over there, I was a combat medic. And I got thrown around a lot in our Humvee. And as time has gone on, my back pain has slowly but surely gotten worse and worse and worse. About a month ago, I woke up because I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up during the middle of the night, and my back was in so much pain that I couldn't stand up. I don't take any kind of medication because my father had a problem with drugs and alcohol.
Good job.
And and so I just we found this out after he passed away. He was a great man, but he had problems and hit him from the family, which sucked. But what are you going to do? So my question is that lately it's been increasingly painful for me to walk. The left side of my body it's like a sharp pain through my heel, shoots up the left side of my leg and into my lower back.
When you say left side of your body, you mean just your left lower extremity?
Right, and then okay. It goes into my lower back.
Yeah, so that's disc disease,
what is it?
It's disc, a protruding disc impinging on a nerve there, and walking is basically the treatment. And I wouldn't urge you to do anything else unless you have motor difficulty. If you have weakness or muscle wasting on that side, then you got to have an operation. But
what's crazy is I'm getting numbness in my foot and my toes.
Yeah.
And it's also, is that normal? I mean,
no, it's not normal.
This isn't normal.
It's all part of the same thing probably. But, you know, you can't know for sure that's what it is unless you get a proper workup. So my question is, why as a veteran can't you go to VA?
I'm not a priority. That's what I was told.
Yeah. Go to VA, wait in line. Listen, that's the way we're all going to be dealing with health care coming forward. Because
wait till this Obamacare kicks in.
Yeah, and so I have two questions. Why don't you go wait in line at the VA?
Because it's 30 days. I called over to the VA. I told them my symptoms. Listen, here's my problem with the VA, and I don't want to, you know, take over the show at all, so I do apologize. But I've been there 3-4 times. They've lost my record a number of times. Every time I go in there, they're like, hey, we need to do your blood work. And I'm like, I just did my blood work. Where's my blood work? Oh, sorry, we lost it. And so my frustration with government health care is becoming to the point where if it's so bad for people, less than 1% of the United States that have actually served the military, imagine how crappy it's going to be for the rest of us when we all have to stand in line and go through the same.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be all like that for sure. But you got to go to the VA or you have to apply and talk to them some more. Or you have to apply through the new insurance. You're in California. California has the insurance website, the initiatives,
mm-hmm.
and you need to get on the plan. That's why we have this Obamacare, well, Affordable Care Act.
The problem is, if it's 30 days, then you got to get in line.
You used to do that. You used to go to county hospital and stuff.
Yeah, go to county USC.
Yeah. Do it. It's sitting around not doing it. That's on you.
And free clinics in Santa Monica.
That's where you went? Nice.
Manned by a lot of ladies. We like the ladies.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you either got to go to the VA or you have to start buying insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Why don't they do a bang-up job?
It's free.
Why doesn't anybody do a bang-up job when something's free and they can't get fired, basically? You remove the threat of being fired along with being free, and you get the LA Unified School District. I mean, do we not understand this as human beings?
No. We're going to solve everything with our systems.
But hold on. If somebody says, I would like to train my dog, and you go, all right, how are you planning on training it? I'm going to train my dog by hoping it will do what is right. Someone would say, a dog expert would say, hoping your dog does what's right, meaning not peeing in the house or when you're walking it, not dragging you behind it, chasing squirrels on the leash. That doesn't work. Well, why not? Don't you think that dog should just do what's right? Like, don't chase squirrels. That is wrong. Do what's right. Don't shit on my beautiful Afghan rug. You shit outside. That's what's right. Yeah. Well, that's what the dog should do. Well, no, the dog won't do that. The dog trainer would say, here's how you get the dog to do. You train the dog by, you give it treats.
Incentives.
And also,
A little consequence,
yank on the leash. Hence, that's how you train a dog. And then you get the dog trained, and then the dog won't shit. You don't have to do it every day. We do understand that in the animal kingdom, right? What the fuck do you think we are? We're slightly smarter, but insanely more lazy animals. I suspect they'd be lazy too, but they got to go out and kind of make their, got to go out and hunt a little bit. But that's who we are. So let's all just sit back and expect everyone to do the right thing. Don't chase any squirrels and don't shit in the house. That's horrible advice from anybody who would, I don't care how far left you lean, if you're a dog trainer, that's not your advice. Let the dog do what the dog wants to do and don't worry, it should settle into a pattern that's correct.
Hmm.
No. Why would we think human beings would be any different? Don't they understand human beings? Why don't they understand human beings? I don't understand that part. Hmm. And I don't understand the part where they, as we spoke to earlier, aren't religious people. So you should be fucking experts in psychology. I mean, Gavin Newsom's in here. I don't think he's a particularly spiritual or religious person. He should have a fucking black belt in psychology, except for he's got nothing. The Huffington Post with their fucking pipeline from school to prison pipeline, they're not born-again Christians. Probably mostly atheists. Understand how human beings work then and apply it. It is fucking
Line
pathetic.
Three.
It is so fucking pathetic, Drew. Just study human beings, would you? Mackenzie?
I do.
I know.
Hello.
And that's where you get your reason. 25, Wisconsin. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask and get an opinion. That'd be great. I recently, well, not recently, but for about a year and a half, I've been having kind of like, I didn't hear most of the last caller, what do you say, but I heard something about left side and numbing. And that's what's been going on with me. And I've seen about 10 different doctors in different departments, and they say I have a rheumatoid arthritis. And but anxiety is also part of
clearly
my diagnosis.
Clearly, whenever you see 10 doctors, because medical problems are not that mysterious. And when they are mysterious, they're devastating. Like, people are dying. They just die.
I've seen House.
Yeah. And when it's not that, it's psychiatric.
But, like, I don't understand.
Psychiatric
like,
symptoms?
I have rapid growth in my left hand and my left feet. Like, it's about a centimeter and a half difference.
That may not be rapid growth. You may have had that forever and just noticing it now.
There's no way. I really don't think. There's no way.
Is a centimeter 10 millimeters?
Yeah.
All right. So 10 millimeters is like almost half an inch or right. 3/8 of an inch or something like that. 7/16 or something like that. Yeah. All right.
There's typically asymmetry like that. I mean, it's a little exaggerated, but not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's affecting a lot of,
blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be quiet.
Hold on. Whenever you see 10 doctors, Drew and my spidey sense starts tingling, even just hearing the sound of your voice, our spidey sense is tingling. There's something going on an emotional level with you. You can try to turn it into a physical thing and focus only on that. I don't think you're going to arrive at any... nothing useful on that side of things, especially as a 25-year-old. So you're young. You have your youth and your health, even if it's not in your head. And now it's time to focus on getting a healthy head, and I think the body will follow.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you had trauma growing up or what, but all that needs to be dealt with now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've been doing therapy since I've been 10.
Well, and are you in it now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As the great Lady Ban expose once said, free your mind and the rest will follow.
Wow.
Hmm. Well, who did that song? I figure that one out.
L7.
Got to be colorblind. Don't be so shallow.
In Vogue.
In Vogue.
Shakespeare's sister.
All right. Therapy since 10. Obviously, trauma going back.
You may need maybe some specialized therapy. Talk to your therapist about getting some referral for... There's various kinds of what are called somatic kinds of therapies to connect your body and your brain up in different ways. Because when you've had a lot of trauma... particularly early, it disconnects yourself, your conscious self, from your body. And your body can only tell its tale of woe through things like pain and all kinds of funny symptoms. Just think of it that way and then try to hook the – there are ways to link things back up and make things regulate as a whole again.
Okay. Drew.
Yeah.
Question about e-cigarettes. Somebody's
let me just I don't have an opinion. Until the FDA really studies it. My suspicion is it's better than tobacco cigarettes. I can't imagine it's not better than that. So I am in favor of nicotine replacement of all type.
Right.
But I don't have a formal opinion on e-cigarettes yet.
This, I believe there's a lot of groups that are against these things.
Why?
Well.
The phenols?
No. Drew.
Yeah.
Remember way back in the day when we used to speak about the morning after pill?
Yes. I want apologies from everybody for that. How many years?
It's 15 years, yeah. Maybe more. So I used to say, why is the religious right coming out against this pill that could lessen...
prevent abortions.
Prevent abortions significantly.
No, like really like eliminate abortions.
Well, it certainly impacted in a pretty meaningful way.
Yes, yes. I mean, in its primary mechanism would stop abortions from happening.
So why do people that hate abortions the most, why are they against this thing that could significantly cut down on abortions? Doesn't make sense to this atheist broadcaster. Well, you scratch beneath the surface a little. That's not what they're into. They're into you not having recreational sex.
Particularly young people.
Young people before marriage, yeah. Especially.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just say what you are. Now, there's another group. Those folks are on the right. There's another group that's on the left that says first-hand smoke, second-hand smoke, third-hand smoke, no smoking anywhere near anything. By the way, the places where you could formerly smoke in an airport have been replaced by the place where your dog takes a shit. Now, but this is progress.
That's true.
This is progress.
It's true.
This is progress. Now, when you say to those people, good news. Good news. We don't have to have a cigarette smoke. No more. No, the scourge of a third-hand smoke can be eliminated now. The scourge. The scourge of third-hand smoke. Now, there's something called an e-cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
And there'll be no more secondhand or third-hand. You know, 53,000 Americans die every year of secondhand smoke. There'll be no more of that because they have e-cigarettes. And they go, we're against it. And you go, why? And go, now, you want to know the word why? The word why is because it has the word cigarette in it. I'm convinced every car would run off natural gas if it didn't have the word gas in it.
Mm.
It was called natural breath. Angel's breath. Then there'd be a huge thing for natural gas. We'd all be running, but it has the word gas in it. Thus, certain group doesn't like it. Yeah. We don't want gas.
So what? But what's what? I get the context. What's behind that?
We don't like cigarettes.
No, no. But I mean, what's motivating all that? You're doing something to me.
Because what motivates is I need to control things. I need to tell you where to go and what to do and how to do it and how far away to do it from the building. I will be telling you. I will be dictating to you.
It's the opposite of libertarian, right?
For me, it is.
Yeah.
Now, they would say, well, kids are going to get hold of these things. Kids are going to get started on these things. All right. The exact same thing the people you hate on the right were making about the morning after pill.
Yeah.
And you called them idiots.
That's why we need to all become libertarians.
I'm down with that plan, baby. All right. Audrey?
Yeah.
Hey.
25, Indiana?
Yep.
What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, okay, so my friend and I, we went to, like, a basketball game, and they were giving away these scratch-off lottery tickets, and we got, like, 5 or 6 of them. We scratched them off, and one of them was, like, $80,000 winner.
Wow.
So,
was it lottery ticket night?
It was. This team is sponsored by the state lottery. So they
really?
Out at, like, every game. Yeah.
Zaha, I'll guarantee there is no timeout chalkboard talk that embodies any of the constitution of the lottery, which is, okay, everybody, we need to hang out more and hope something good happens.
Exactly. Those are the type of people that go to those
sports
games mostly.
Sport is exactly... Quiet.
Hold on a sec.
Sport's exactly the opposite of lottery.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you've got to work harder, you have to out-hustle this team, you need to strategize, you need to box out, you need to work higher percentage shots, you need to move the ball in. It's everything that you do in sports, everything that coach says during that TV timeout is the exact opposite of the lottery.
You know, I don't know this, I've not studied Indiana, but it seems to me that's a state that has its shit together. I've got that Amber from Teen Mom is in prison there at a program that's unbelievably good with tons of therapy. You see what happens in Indianapolis in the 15, 20 years we've been going there?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
why do they have the fucking lottery?
Yeah, I wonder.
Why? Pussies. Anyway.
So I was just calling to see what you guys think. I'm 25.
You guys won?
I don't have any money put away. Yeah, we won. So we both got... actually, it was $120,000 with taxes. So we both got like $40,000.
Nice.
And I just wanted your advice to see what I should do.
It'd be interesting to see how we differ. You can buy yourself something nice, but invest everything you possibly can into a low risk, high yield something. Obviously, those two terms, like a bond is sort of out right now.
Like an IRA?
Well, some of it in IRA, but you know, so you have tax deferred.
When would you like this money? When would you like to use it, or how would you like to use it? Are you looking to?
No, she wants advice on how to use it. That's the point.
Understood, but I mean,
I don't know if I should.
You looking to buy a house in 5 years?
Yeah, I would like to. I live in an apartment right now. I just want to do the right away, so I don't spend a lot of it. Like
invest, get it. Oh boy.
Hmm.
What you're talking about, Drew, bonds or...
Well, bonds are sort of on the...
equity in a house.
Yeah, well, the problem with the equity in a house is you'd have to come up with a mortgage, and that's kind of hard at your age. I think you get something that...
Well, I don't know. Where are you working?
I work for a D League basketball team.
Oh,
ironically.
Work for another basketball team?
I know.
Could you afford a small house if they, you use this as a down payment? Because that's the other way to go.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't make very much money. Hold on a second.
Couple things.
Rental property.
What in places you'd like to live in Indiana? What's a house, median size house, go for?
Easily, like they're cheap, like $100,000, 70. Yeah. You could even get that.
All right, yeah. You got the down payment to a house.
Buy a house then.
Okay.
Well, listen.
That's what.
Listen, buy a house and have rent out one of the rooms to. The other chick that won the money. I mean,
she just bought a house with hers.
Okay, well, you buy a house with yours and buy a little two or three bedroom house and maybe something that need a little sweat equity and a little fixer upper, and then have a room or two rented out to a friend. I mean, I couldn't imagine that not paying for it.
You know what's crazy is that right here is the difference between success and failure in life when you get right down to it.
Yeah,
right here.
Now, my buddy Chris, when he was intentionally run over on PCH after he beat up a guy, got a check for like $13,000.
Yeah.
And I just said to him, you better buy tools with that money. And he said, fuck it, I'm going to Hawaii. He went to Hawaii and did coke and basically came home like 4 months later. And it's like, that's the most money we had ever seen. I'm telling you.
That's the difference between success and failure.
Right there. Aubrey may never going to do this. Here's my two suggestions. 1972 Lamborghini Espada.
Can you get it for $35,000?
$40,000.
Okay.
And or a Pantera. Now, you take the Lamborghini Espada. You're right around 40 now, some a little higher, starting to move. Front engine, V12.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2+2 car, but everything else Lamborghini's made is going through the roof, and this is going too. And you buy a decent example of one at 40 grand right now. 5 years from now, it will be over 100. That's pretty good return on investment, right?
That's a good anything like that. Anything. You can do that because you understand these things. But for her, I like the idea of the house because it continues to
like
tie her down to investing.
She gets to live in there.
But she also invests further with her mortgage.
Rates
are down. It's a perfect time for that.
I concur. All right. I want to thank Kathy Lee Gifford for coming on. Her show, Kathy Lee Gifford, it is called Kathy Lee and Company, and starts this Wednesday on podcast1.com, everybody. And me and Dr. Drew live. You can check that out. First three shows available on iTunes, adamcarolla.com. I'm going to be doing a live show, Pasadena Ice House. That is coming up this Tuesday. Rich Eisen. There may be some talk about raising the goalposts. Maybe.
If time permits.
If time permits. We have 90 minutes. And you subscribe via the PayPal button and all that good and happy stuff. Thank you so much. And share it with a friend. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Parrott, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.